The Truth News Network. Identity politics is poisoning the American well of freedom.
There is an antidote.
It's right here at TNN. Truth News Network. For today's chapter, here's Dan Newman.
Hi, everyone. It is hot. Not so hot outside where I live. It has been up in the high 90s, around 100 degrees, even over 100 degrees several times. It's cooled down a bit temperature-wise, but in politics, it is hot. Impeach 45. That's the title of today's show. And as promised, we are going to talk to you about what has occurred regarding impeachment of President Donald Trump. This is that political rally mantra of Representative Maxine Waters from California. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Those have been her cries since the election of Donald Trump. They initially fell on deaf ears. Not so much now. Yep, we're there finally, folks. House Speaker Pelosi announced the House has initiated a, quote, formal impeachment investigation. So what the heck is that? There's no constitutional authorization for a formal impeachment investigation. No House rules allowing a speaker to unilaterally launch any action involving the entire House. That would require a full vote of the House on the floor. There is no authority for any House Speaker to launch unilaterally a joint investigation using all six of the applicable House committees without the full House approving. Yet Pelosi has done it, all the while obliterating constitutional instructions for initiating impeachment and ignoring jointly passed House rules. Remember this. In this House of Representatives, there have already been two formal votes on motions made to begin real impeachment proceedings. Both motions failed miserably in House votes. For that reason, Pelosi decided to ignore the Constitution and to ignore jointly approved House rules. It's like she said this, I'll just pander to Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the gang and start this thing myself. So she did it. Here's how impeachment is supposed to occur, unless you would forget it. In the House of Representatives, an impeachment proceeding is a formal process by which a sitting president of the U.S. may be accused of wrongdoing. The articles of impeachment are the list of charges drafted against that president. The vice president and all civil officers of the U.S. can also face impeachment. I don't know if you knew that. The process begins in the U.S. House of Representatives, where any member of the House can make a suggestion to launch an impeachment proceeding. It is then up to the Speaker, as leader of the majority party, to determine whether or not to proceed with an inquiry into the alleged wrongdoing. Next, the House Judiciary Committee will investigate. That's the committee headed by Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York. There is no time limit placed on their investigation, and a likely public hearing will be scheduled at the discretion of the committee chair to vote on the articles of impeachment. A simple majority of the members of the committee would have to vote in favor of approving an article or articles, multiple, of impeachment in order to proceed to a vote by the full House. The House Judiciary Committee currently consists of 24 Democrats and 17 Republicans. That means 21 votes in favor would be necessary to move it to the House floor for debate and a vote. And then in the U.S. Senate, the Senate is tasked with handling the impeachment trial, in which there is a higher threshold that must be met in order for an impeachment to go forward. What that means is that in the Senate, a higher percentage of the body has to vote in favor of conviction than in the House. In the House, a simple majority is needed. But in the Senate, they need a two-thirds majority, or 67%. That means 67 senators, after going through the trial on the articles passed across the hall by the House, 67 senators would have to vote in favor of at least one of those articles of impeachment, 67 of 100. If the Senate fails to convict, then the president will have been impeached, but not removed. Presidents Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson are examples of this. In neither Clinton nor Johnson's Senate trials was a two-thirds majority reached. According to the Constitution, at least two-thirds of the Senate have to concur to convict and remove the president. Once the president is removed, the vice president typically succeeds him, or the normal course of the line of succession will be followed. The current line of succession is that the vice president would assume the presidency, and then after the vice president would be the Speaker of the House. While a Senate trial has the power to oust a president from office, it does not have the power to send a president to jail. So, where do we stand today regarding impeachment? Well, as mentioned above, two House motions have already been voted down in the House, the first in December of 2017. In that vote, an unexpected large number of Democrats voted in favor to launch impeachment proceedings, revealing the growing agitation among liberals to remove him from office. The House, however, voted overwhelmingly, 364 to 58, to table that resolution from Representative Al Green of Texas, laying out articles of impeachment against Trump, with four Democrats voting present. Tabling a resolution means simply a vote against the motion. All Republicans voted with 126 Democrats to defeat that impeachment resolution. Those Democrats included Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Minority Whip Steny Hoyer, who both announced ahead of the vote they would vote against the effort. They cited the ongoing investigations by congressional committees and the FBI special counsel. Now is not the time to consider articles of impeachment, Pelosi and Hoyer said. The second bill to impeach the president occurred 2.5 months later on January 19th of 2018. Every Republican again voted against the bill, but 12 Democrats changed their votes from no to yes. Obviously, neither bill passed, so no House impeachment process was implemented. If the majority of House members approve those articles, then the articles go to the Senate, where each article will be considered separately. In President Clinton's impeachment, the House considered, if I'm correct, memory serves me correctly here, I believe, four charges were considered separately against him. He was impeached based on the agreement on two of the four: his conviction for lying under oath, and also for witness tampering. At the presentation conclusion in the Senate, a vote will be taken regarding confirmation of each of those articles. As mentioned, two-thirds of the 100 senators would have to vote in favor of at least one of the charges against him approved by the House before that would occur. The Senate would then immediately remove the president from office. So, where are we today and how did we get here? Well, if you've been out on the back 40, you may think this is all brand new. No way. As shown above, House Member Al Green offered a bill to initiate impeachment right after the election. Well, not right after, but shortly after, December of 2017. But way before that, Democrats in Congress had already sowed impeachment seeds for Trump impeachment. That actually began before Trump was even inaugurated. He wasn't even president.
I want to say this for Donald Trump, who I may well be voting to impeach over the next year or two. But wait. I want to say this. I want to say this for Donald Trump, because you can find it online. He has said several times in questions about health care that we need health care for everybody. Look it up. I'm not kidding you. He has said we need a universal plan.
So you said you anticipate you may one day vote to impeach him. What would be the charges?
Well, right now, it looks pretty obvious that he's on a collision course with the Emoluments Clause, because he has refused to divest himself of tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of business interests he has around the world doing business with foreign governments. And the Emoluments Clause is basically a foreign bribery clause, and it says that no elected official, either a member of Congress or the President of the United States, can accept a gift, an emolument, or any payment at all from a foreign government. And he simply refuses to accept that reality. So if he goes into office, he refuses to divest himself. The moment that the first conflict comes up, that's going to look like an impeachable offense, at least to this professor of constitutional law.
That freshman House member just said he would support the impeachment of Donald Trump. You know what's odd about that? He said that on January 18, 2017, 3 days before Donald Trump was even sworn in as president. There has been an underlying thread through everything the Democrat members of Congress have done since 2016. That thread is to somehow, in some way, use every tool they can find to drive this man they hate from office, Donald Trump. They've proven they'll do anything. And in doing so, at least so far, they have been unsuccessful. They ignore the dozens and dozens of accomplishments by this administration for the sole benefit of Americans. I won't waste your time here by listing them all. You know what they are. Americans from every economic, social, racial, ethnicity, country of origin, and no matter of what age, can easily, if they choose, peer through the fog of deceit wafted into the air by angry Democrats to cloud Americans' vision, and can see what Donald Trump has accomplished for them, their families, and their fellow Americans. And you know what? Don't listen to or believe me. Research and find out for yourself. The truth is there. The problem is that most Democrats and others even further to the left politically don't want to see or accept any truths. And they don't want anyone else to. They want more than anything for Donald Trump to fail, even so desperately that some are very publicly sharing their hopes that the U.S. economy will crash during Trump's first term in office. Representative Al Green, remember him from Texas who filed articles of impeachment against Donald Trump twice? He voiced Democrats' struggle with all things Trump best when he said this, quote, "We cannot beat Trump at the polls, so we must impeach him." That statement summarized the Democrats' plans. Now, let's move on to the latest. The latest, the telephone conversation between President Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky, has been Democrats' apparent final straw necessary for Speaker Pelosi to give in to her socialist mob segment and to start an official impeachment inquiry. She announced it in a public appearance, stating that contents of that Ukrainian telephone conversation made it abundantly clear it must happen now. She did this before anyone, any Democrat or any Republican, even knew the substance of the call. You know the whistleblower story and its details regarding the call. We won't go through that again. What's craziest in this bizarre Pelosi action is that the president had stated he would release the transcript of the call the next day so all could know its contents and stop speculating. I find it incomprehensible that Pelosi would put any chance of Democrats winning the White House and even the Senate in 2020 in jeopardy simply to launch her inquiry without first knowing the call's contents. But she did. The call transcript was released. Its contents were benign. Nothing like Democrats had demanded would confirm impeachable Trump wrongdoing. Mr. Trump purportedly pressured the Ukrainian president to invest former Vice President Biden and his son, all the while holding congressionally approved financial aid to Ukraine hostage if Zelensky did not restart that investigation. The transcript proved those things didn't happen. No demands of any kind were placed on Zelensky, and there was nothing in the call but several company presidential topics the two discussed. Now, on the webpage, right after the sentence that I just gave to you, the transcript, the exact transcript of the call, the link to it is put there. Feel free to download it. Pelosi and Democrats, folks, are sunk. I'll stick my neck out here and say that two things are now certain. The House will go through the impeachment process now. They have no other choice. And Donald Trump, who I think was going to win the 2020 race anyway, will now win in a landslide. You know what? Americans see through all this hoo-ha. And the more Democrats scream and holler and blame and allege through anonymous sources and a highly placed source, the more Americans who may have been on the fence because of nonstop allegations of Trump wrongdoing are seeing that Democrats are not doing what they all promised to do. They are trying instead to foil the so far successful attempts of a never-before politician to bring truth, common sense, hard work, without any political perspectives or objectives, to put in place as many and hopefully eventually all of the promises to Americans he made in his campaign for which he was elected. Democrats have never seen that before, and they cannot and will not stand for it, and they're stymied at what they should do. I'm going to close with this quid pro quo. We've said often at Truth News Network that very often when any politician screams loudly about something a political opponent is doing, they often are guilty of doing that very same thing themselves. It happens that way more often than not. I've looked very closely throughout this entire Trump debacle to find out if there was any quid pro quo going on regarding the Ukraine that could fit into that scenario. And guess what? I found some. Listen to this very closely. In May of 2018, three senators, Robert Menendez of New Jersey, Richard Durbin of Illinois, and Patrick Leahy of Vermont, wrote a letter jointly to Ukraine's Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko, expressing concern at the closing of four investigations they said were critical to the Mueller probe. This was during the Mueller probe before the completion. In the letter, they implied that their support for U.S. assistance to Ukraine was at stake. That's an important line. They implied in their letter that their support for U.S. assistance to the Ukraine was at stake, describing themselves as, quote, strong advocates for a robust and close relationship with Ukraine. The Democratic senators declared this: "We have supported the capacity building process and are disappointed that some in Kiev appear to have cast aside these democratic principles to avoid the ire of President Trump." Before demanding, Lutsenko, quote, "reverse course and halt any efforts to impede cooperation with this important investigation." Here's what they said. Donald Trump pressured Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden and his son Hunter so it would throw dirt on Trump's chief presidential 2020 rival. These three senior Democrat senators had themselves, in their letter, done exactly what they are accusing Donald Trump of doing in his phone call. And here's a little caveat in all this I'm certain Democrats haven't told you about. The Constitution's take care provision, it requires the president, any president, in this case Donald Trump, to ask any foreign government, in this case, of course, the Ukraine, to investigate potential corruption in their country that may reach into ours. Nobody else in our government can talk to a foreign government or a president like the Ukraine president in this case. It has to be president to president. And in this case, that would be Donald Trump asking the Ukraine's president to continue the investigation that was ended because Vice President Biden's mafia-like withholding of defense dollars threat unless Ukraine fired the prosecutor investigating Biden's son's corrupt energy company, unless that happened, that money was going to be withheld. All Donald Trump was doing was passing along that information to the Ukraine's president in that phone call. Now listen to this. My final words. It's a long time until the 2020 election, and this bogus impeachment process is intended by Democrats to perpetuate a cloud of question over Donald Trump, and they want that cloud to be sufficient to cause former and current Trump supporters to vote for the Democrat 2020 candidate instead of Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure this current tactic is going to fail. I'm talking about the faux impeachment proceedings. But don't be tempted to sigh in relief. Democrats never give up, and they will not hear. There are plenty of opportunities for Democrats to toss out more fake dirt on Mr. Trump again and again before Election Day 2020. And I promise you, they certainly will. Well, impeachment is here. For 2 years, I've told you, Democrats will impeach Donald Trump, and their impeachment efforts will not be successful. Be wary, be vigilant, and you stay close to Truth News Network. We're on top of it all for you, and you can get it in every chapter, every day, here at truthnewsnet.org. Hey, listen, I hope you've enjoyed today. Be close and be back tomorrow at truthnewsnet.org. Till then, have a great one, folks.
From Krakow to Grand Island, Milan to Hanoi, this is TNN, the Truth News Network.